Feminist Buzzkills, the show that is celebrating its 100th episode. What? I know, it's true. I'm Liz Winstead, and I'm joined by my co-host and 100th episode tricks, Moji Alabodeal.
Hello, I was thinking episodian, but I like episode tricks.
I like episode tricks.
Today, the show is going to be a little different. We thought we'd lighten it up a bit and just enjoy the occasion of the Feminist Buzzkills 100th show.
So what's going to happen is the producers are surprising us with all kinds of special guests who've been on the pod, who've worked with AAF, and we're just going to roll with it. But before we get into it, I feel like it's befitting, as the 100th episode is upon us, that we have been cruising around the country with this documentary that's been done about us, and having it be in my hometown of Minneapolis over the weekend was mind-blowing because y'all were there.
Oh my gosh, there was like a mini coterie of AAFers in Minneapolis, which is one of my favorite things in the world. And we got down, ate well, but also presented the No One Asked You doc, which was so cool. There were two sold out screenings and one incredible party.
Yeah, we had a great after party that was just like disco, and it was a fundraiser for AAF, and there was great prizes, and we danced the night away and took in the sights of the Twin Cities. And it was really like awesome to, I don't know, just where I'm from, and then knowing we were going into this week with our 100th episode and thinking about the origins of this podcast before we meet some of the amazing people who have joined us on this ride. You know, it's so funny to think about, Moji, that we officially started the Feminist Buzzkills podcast. We call it Feminist Buzzkills Live. We were in D.C. We had gone to the oral arguments of Dobbs, and we had taken it all in, and we'd recorded a bunch of video. And then the next day, we recorded a podcast based on our thoughts. I got arrested.
You got arrested.
And then the next day, we did our podcast that was sort of the kickoff of this hideous trajectory of covering on a weekly basis the stories of all of these incredible people that we have met in our activism.
You know, it's been 2+ years, and funny seeing the doc, or at least the end of the doc this weekend, that we had footage of you getting arrested at the launch of the podcast. It's one of the later moments in the documentary. And watching it and just reflecting on all of the work we've done as an organization, not just in the podcast, but also in the time of the podcast. It's been a million years, Liz. It's like a million years. We've done so much. So much has happened.
It feels like a million years. And, you know, the podcast is something that bore out of all of our work that we do on the road, and us meeting so many incredible providers and activists and academics and researchers and lawyers. You know, when we're out there, we meet all these people. And we started the podcast because these people are the people who should be telling the story of what's happening in our movement right now, what's happening with access to abortion, what's happening legally, what's happening to the clinics providing the care, what they're going through, what are these funds going through, what kind of help do they need? And to be able to provide this weekly space to showcase a nice hunk of time for them to tell their stories is, I feel really proud of the work that we do on this podcast.
I feel super proud. And also the fact that we both, and basically everyone who works on our team, is immersed in this work, in the work of abortion rights, in the work of reproductive freedom, in the work of reproductive justice. And I still learn something every week when we talk to these experts. I still learn another aspect, another element, a perspective that is important, even in me feeling like I know everything there is to know. And I love that about just doing this.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, we kicked off this podcast during, you know, with the Dobbs case. We've been through Dobbs. We've been through so much wildness happened after Dobbs. And now this week, as this podcast airs, we have the second Supreme Court case in this year.
Right.
When I think about who we've talked to and who we've been able to give us great information, Dr. Michelle Goodwin, who is like the leading scholar on reproductive justice. And, you know, that's just incredible to have her and have access to her and have people here. Or like you were saying, Gretchen Sisson.
Mm-hmm. talking about adoption in a way that the way that adoption is framed really keeps us from having a lot of the comprehensive social services that we would need. And also talking to funds, right? Talking to people who run small individual funds that support the people in their state, but that doesn't make it to national media in terms of them being able to talk about what happens with them, the impact of policy on their people, on their communities, and what they have to do to continue to be the mutual aid that they are.
And the people providing the care, independent abortion providers who are doing the most abortion work ever, trying to keep their clinics open, clinics who have tried to stay open after abortion was totally made illegal in their state, and what they're trying to do. I mean, it's, we've brought you some really incredible people, and we'll continue to do so. And this work on this podcast is sort of the amplification of all the other work that we do on the road at AAF, right? We wouldn't even know that these people existed had we not been out on the road and been in community with them, understanding that when we heard their stories, we were so inspired that we wanted other people to hear them as well. Because I don't know about you, but I really get sick of seeing on television or reading in traditional media, you know, these sort of statistic pieces or horse race pieces about how abortion will work in politics or policy, and hearing from generalists talking about it instead of the real people who experience all of the pain from these bans.
If George Conway speaks on any of this ever again, I can just hurt myself.
Right? I mean, who needs it? You know, and so to be able to hear from Amy Hegstrom Miller or, you know, people working at abortion funds around the country, Dr. Goodwin, Gretchen Sisson, you know, Tracy Wheats. We have the best of the best who are the most compelling. And I can't wait for 100 more shows to do this again. And also, you know, it can be heavy. And so to be able to have so many incredible comics come on who bring their whole hilarity and their heart, you know, so many of these people are doing work in their own right, you know, to be able to have Sarah Silverman and
Shea Coulee, Marcella Arguella,
you know, Ian Harvey,
Margaret Cho,
Amanda Seales. So many people who have brought the funny, brought the insight, been super touching. You know, as we sit here this week, we had the lone activist in Idaho who is trying to organize and fight these abortion bans, and Emma Arnold, the incredible comedian from Idaho, who was also an activist in her own right. You know, it's just like, you know, combining the comedy and the activism both, I think it's that 1-2 punch you need so that you can remind yourself of your own humanity.
And it reminds us that our fight is intersectional and it's not siloed. We can be funny, we can be humorous, and we can also fight like hell for our rights.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think also when you tap into humor and when you're laughing, it does remind you that you want to fight another day, right? Mm-hmm. You haven't given up hope.
It's the wind beneath your wings, right? It's just another little push you need.
It honestly is. It's cheesy as that might sound. It's true.
I love cheesy, Liz.
I know. I love cheesy too. So I'm kind of like, I mean, y'all listen to the pod, so you know what we do, but it's just like really fun to kind of reflect back on it a little bit and think about it. Now I cannot wait to see what is going to happen with this crew and who they are bringing us to talk to down memory lane. I'm excited.
So let's keep the good times going. We are so excited to see what's happening and who's going to come celebrate with us. Let's bring our head writer, Dukes, to tell us how exactly this is going to go down.
Hey, Moji. Hey, Liz. Let's play a game of Guess Who. I will be guiding us along this Feminist Buzzkills extravaganza today. We've enlisted the help of the folks who book the guests on our show to take over and surprise you with a slew of incredible people from AAF history. It's basically a game of This Is Your Pro-Abortion Lie. Joining us today are Emily, AAF's community engagement manager, and the producer who books all of our fabulous guests here from the Reprosphere, and also our talent producer, Jin, who has brought the funniest folks you know to the pod to hang out with us for the past 99 episodes. Emily and Jin will bring on their guests and give you one clue about who it is before they reveal themselves. Each surprise guest has been tasked with telling us a story from their favorite memories of Feminist Buzzkills and AAF past. Emily? Are you ready to tell us about our first guest?
I'm so ready.
Oh my God.
Hi, everyone. And happy 100th show to you both.
Happy 100th show to you, Emily.
Yay. So glad to hear you on mic.
I love to be on mic for 100. The 100th show mic. It's a very exciting day. And I'm especially excited about it because one of my favorite parts of the job at AAF is working as repro producer for Feminist Buzzkills. We spend so much time meeting fantastic folks in the field, and getting to highlight their work is an absolute privilege, which is why I'm very, very excited to share a few of our favorite repro baddies with you both today and the FBK audience. So are you ready for guest one?
Hell yeah. Yes.
Amazing. I can't wait to share. So here's your clue. If this person was a party guest, they'd be the first one at Wine O'Clock. This is a very hard clue because who at AAF wouldn't be the first person at Wine O'Clock?
I don't know that person.
Exactly.
First person at Wine O'Clock. And it's not me?
This is why we're giving tricky clues. Because exactly. So without further ado, let's meet the first person at Wine O'Clock.
It's me.
It's writer and activist Nicole Moore, AAF's comms director from 2016 to 2019, who is now working as a badass strategy consultant. Nicole, we're so excited to have you. Can you just tell us your favorite story from your time with AAF?
Oh my God, so many. It was hard for me to pick one, but I thought, just because of the moment that we're in, loving to see the students and faculty stand up for justice, I thought about one of the times we really stepped in that cut in DC, one of our favorite places to go to, January 2019. That is when things became really serious in January. It was around the anniversary of Roe. We would go every year in January to counter protest the antis. And this time was a little different for us because we decided that we would, if we wanted to, we could be arrested if we wanted to. It's like, Liz was like really letting us rip wild. Although I would look at Moji, who was like my, I would say my work wife, and I would do whatever she would do. And I'm like, Moji, are you getting arrested? And she's like, no, I got to get my, to pick up my kid from childcare. But everyone else was like putting themselves on the line to get arrested. We gave out, everybody got $50 to make bail. And I think we even got to keep the $50. I could be wrong.
I think so.
It was a good time. It was a good radical time.
I don't remember collecting that money back. So
I don't remember giving it back. Right. I remember having a really nice dinner that night, as a matter of fact. But it was just one of those times where I just remember when I said I did not want to be arrested, and that I just wanted, you know, to stay safe, that my colleagues were like, we got you. And that is like one of those moments that where people really, we had each other's backs, right? And I think we were kind of ahead of the curve because now we see that happening. We see how people are really looking through an intersectional lens and being allies for real in the fight for repro justice and in this anti-war protest. And even in terms of like environmental and criminal justice, we see people allying and putting their bodies on the line. And so I went back to 2019. And who knew that 3 years later, Roe would be abolished? But we knew.
We knew. That's why we were in existence.
And that's why we were down there, because we knew what was on the line in 2019.
But also, Nicole, I want to say during that time, you did this fantastic training video about how to get arrested and how to be that with Now This, and you led the Now This crew kind of through, and our crew is like, what we, how we get arrested, how we make sure that those who are going to be the most harmed in an arrest situation are not in the front, but are.
No, it was a total education for all of us. Because I remember Amber talking about, they will take your tie, your hair tie, your butt, your, you know, whatever your scruffy thing is, they'll take it off of you. You can't have anything on your body. And I remember Liz going, what? Like, because we thought you just knew about all of this. And it was like an educational experience for us all. I just feel like that really brought us together in a different way. Like, and not to say it was a utopia. I remember we argued during this trip, but we also found a way to come together. And I think it's important for us to say that, like, you're going to have arguments, you're going to have a disagreement. But when shit is on the line, we had each other's back. And it was profound. And it was really one of the best memories I have in terms of counter-protesting. And, you know, counter-protesting wasn't my favorite thing. But because of AAF and how we were, I guess, set up in the agency we were given, I was able to find my groove in counter-protesting. Mm-hmm. That felt safe, and fun and radical all at the same time.
Yeah, the buddy system works. It's not just for camp.
Yes. Nicole, I feel the same way. I feel like pre-AAF, I don't know if counter-protesting was actually what I thought was a good idea, or even if I thought it was important. And I do feel like in the time in AAF, and also the really nice container that we were given to, like, oh, here's the money you need. Here's the support you need. Write this number on your body.
On your wrist.
That's right. Yeah, know that you have like all these things. And we have a buddy system. There were all these ways that it was like whatever level of engagement you wanted to be, you could be at and be in the place and still be safe. It was really, yeah, it's really nice. I'm glad you brought that up.
That was great. And I also think too, just to sort of button that, it didn't even feel like we had a choice, because what we knew in our bones at AAF was the only way we make change in abortion was that we actually speak publicly about it and don't speak in euphemisms and don't silo ourselves and accept crumbs. And I think the way to get the public engaged so that they have ownership over their issues is to show as many faces and voices as you can within that public sphere, so that the demand is coming from the people, and how the people want change is what they have to hear.
Oh my God, I'm shaking my head. Like, because I just said this morning to someone, because I said, I'm looking at the anti-war protests and I'm seeing their strategy, and I'm like, we need to do the same thing. We're doing it in repro, but not on that level. And the more we share, the less we destigmatize, the more we get our stories out, how much more free are we going to be? How much more powerful are we going to be? So I just wanted to say, I love y'all. I can't believe it's 100 episodes. I used to at one point be a co-host back yes. in the day in Liz's Brooklyn apartment, the good old days. Yes.
Good old days. Nicole, well, we're so proud of everything that you've been doing and the fight that you've been fighting for repro justice on all fronts, and also the fight that you're fighting for your own justice. We are here to support you in that and in all ways.
Oh my God, that means so much to me. Thank mm-hmm. you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Miss you, work wife.
Yeah, we miss you.
I didn't get the invitation yet for the 100th episode party, because I know this. I mean, are we going on the party boat or what? Like, let me know.
Who knows? There's a boat. Yes, party boat. We have to find a party boat.
It's a yacht club. Actually, it's a yacht. It's a yeah. it's an abortion yacht.
Yes.
Nicole, before we lose you, really, really quick, will you tell everyone just a one-liner about Backbone, speaking of the amazing things that you're doing?
Yes. A month ago now, I launched the zine to inspire and empower Black women, women of color, to remind us that burnout is not our birthright, and that we there's so much more to us and so much more value to us than the world gives to us. And so it's called Backbone. I'm giving it out. It's free. It's a radical social experiment. If you love it, if you get a copy, you can make your own copy, and then you become an agent of change as well, because you can also distribute the zine yourself. So thank you for letting me shout out my zine, Backbone.
Well, make sure we get some Backbones in our possession, Nicole, so we can always have them at every AAF table.
Yes.
I would love that. Thank you.
Awesome. Love you, Nicole.
Love you, Nicole.
Love you too. Bye.
That was fun.
What a fun guess. Also, I missed all the clues that she was who was coming on.
I did not know Nicole. That was fun.
I know. Nicole, fantastic first guest. We couldn't be more excited. Thank you so much, Nicole. Be sure to donate to the Abortion Fund of Arizona. All of this info will be linked in the show notes, including Backbone, Nicole's socials, and how to donate to the Abortion Fund. So we love Nicole, but we have more guests. So we should find out who the next ones are, right?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Now Barack Obama?
Now Barack. He said first was a little too much. He needs to wait a beat. So your next guest may or may not be. It can't be, because this is two people. This is a two-for-one guest. And your clue is that you've spent time with them in a lot of different settings, including a swimming pool. And that's your clue.
Oh, I think I know who it is. Am I supposed to say or not?
You can guess in your head and tell us if you're right.
Yes, I am right.
Hi. Congratulations.
Happy
100th.
Yeah, happy 100th episode. Oh my gosh, thank you. Goodness. Emily, tell the fine folks who these fine folks are.
These are the amazing Chellians. Please welcome Renee and Laura. They are an incredible mother-daughter duo who are the respective founder and CEO, Renee, and vice president, Laura, of Northland Family Planning Clinics. We have a lot of history with the Chellians, and I'm going to toss it to you two. Can you share your top memory with the AAF crew?
Absolutely. Well, we, first of all, it's got to be memories from our 2017 visit, the Magical Mystery Tour, when y'all were in Detroit hosting all of these fabulous, I mean, the comedy show, but also the visit to the clinic. So we threw together a few different memories from that trip. So
yeah, it's hard to throw only a couple memories, like fabulous memories of being with Liz. So
because there's so many.
There's so many. I just wanted to say that when we got the email that you were doing this tour, Liz, and that you were coming to Detroit and essentially what it was, but that you wanted to do something special for us, Laura and I both went to total brain blank.
Like no one ever wants to do anything for us. Like, and you guys were like, what do you,
and
what do you
want? We couldn't think of what to ask for. And we didn't want to be greedy. And it was the first tour. So we had no idea what any other clinics had asked for. And we were like, well, between the three clinics, we have really bad picketers at one of them. And maybe you could do something in the parking lot. But whoever emailed us back said, Liz will figure it out when she gets there. And we were just happy to do that because we didn't want to ask for anything. But the fun started when you drove, I want to say from Cleveland or Cincinnati, somewhere, you know, it was a sea city in Ohio, I think. And you came in a couple of cars. And it was hot as hell. And you had been in these cars for hours. And because everybody was going to, half the crew was going to spend time at our house. And then you had an Airbnb for the rest. So everybody got out of the cars. They were hot. They took one look at the swimming pool. And before we knew it, we were having a pool party. Everybody was in the pool. Laura and I grabbed our bathing suits, put them on, got in the pool with everyone. And this is how we met everybody.
Yeah.
In the swimming pool.
Oh my God. That was so fun.
It was such an amazing crew that you pulled together to come and visit, but it was the best pool party / sleepover. Because, in abortion world that I feel like it has to be.
I think by the time we pulled and we ate, nobody wanted to go check into the Airbnb. So everybody stayed at the house.
Oh my God. You had your whole house was full. You were pulling out blankets and air mattresses. And yeah, like we were supposed to be there supporting clinics. And then there's Renee making all of us lunch and then dinner. And
it was the best time. It was so fun. And Liz told me that they were going to have a meeting the next morning, I think at 10 o'clock, whatever the regular time for the meeting was, it was not too early, but it's not too late. So I'm picturing everybody in the kitchen at 10 o'clock the next morning. So I wanted to make sure there was food, there was coffee, and there was everything. So I just kind of snuck in to make sure it was set up. And the only person at the kitchen table was Liz. But she's talking on her phone, and I'm like, where the hell is everybody else? And I think she muted it for a minute to tell me nobody else is coming. We do these from wherever you're at on the phone. So everybody was in my house, in bed, on their phone, having the meeting. And it was, for me, the funniest thing I've ever seen, because there was no other organization that I've ever seen have meetings like this.
It was just such a wonderful event and time that we got to spend together. The comedy show was amazing. What you did at the clinic, creating the beautiful patio for when patients can be outside, like the umbrella and the plants and the pretty chairs, and then the fence covering to cover the freaking antis because they're everywhere. And you guys, you got that covering to cover in between the fencing that because the privacy fence. Yeah. The privacy screen, sorry, on the fence.
We didn't even know about this.
Yeah. I didn't even know it existed. It was the best. You guys made everything so much better. And it was just such a wonderful experience. It was such a good memory.
It was so fun. And I remember from the show that this cool woman running for governor that you were friends with came to the show turned out it was Gretchen Whitmer. And she sat in the front row and she just laughed her ass off. And she was so great and so supportive. And I loved it. I have to say my favorite memory with y'all was when we were all at Sundance for that movie Trapped. And we didn't have a place to stay. And the two of you opened up your hotel room and we had another slumber party Sundance to watch that movie. You are always just the best.
Yes, we shacked up in Park City.
So my question is, have you gotten better at figuring out what you want to ask for when people tell you that they want to give you gifts?
Well, I have gotten a little better. It's still hard for me to ask, But I learned a lot when I watched the videos of what other people ask for. And that there, you know, during COVID, there were a few organizations giving us money. I got much better at saying what we needed for our staff. So it's just, I never want to sound greedy.
You never do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Liz. Thank you.
Well, I know what I personally want is a boat party. I hear for the 100th episode, so the abortion yacht club.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do that.
We're working on it.
Can we just do a pontoon-a-thon?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I love it. Let's do it.
I love it too. Excellent. Oh my God, what a treat! Always lovely seeing you, and thank you so much for everything you do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you both. It's and happy 100th. We're so excited
for you. For what you do all the time. And watching the documentary, I might say, was so moving because I didn't even know everything you did, Liz. And you're just the most amazing human. Thank you.
Well, yeah, no, you inspire us every day. So if we're doing the good work, it's because y'all are out there in the world reminding us what we need to be doing. So thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to the Chellians, and we want to shout out Reclaim Abortion Fund, which is a fund that assists all patients coming to Northland Family Planning Centers. You can donate to that using the link in our show notes, and be sure to sign up for their newsletter to stay up to date on all events in Michigan. We had three wonderful guests. No Obamas. I'm sorry. But
we had way better than Obamas.
I was going to say, this is actually much better than Obama, if I'm honest.
Chellians and Moores are good. Chellian Moore is a great author's
mm-hmm.
name.
Mm-hmm.
I would read that book.
I would too.
Now my moment has ended because I'm going to hand this off to our fantastic talent producer, Jin, who has more surprise guests for you. So see you soon, Liz and Moji.
Thanks, Emily.
Thank you, Emily.
Happy hundo, Liz and Moji.
Happy hundo, Jin.
Thank you, Jin.
It's been so awesome booking talent guests on the podcast and trying to bring listeners a little bit of joy at the end of a shitstorm of mind-boggling Abobo news.
Every week you deliver, Jin. Every week you deliver.
And I'm happy to introduce your next guest. We can definitively say that your next guest will not be kayaking with you ever. And let's welcome.
Hi, darling.
Oh my God, what a fun surprise. Hey. And your sunglasses are epic. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. I can't see them.
Right?
Yes, it's comedian and improv genius, Greg Proops.
Greg Proops.
Hey. We all know from Whose Line Is It Anyway and his amazing podcast himself, the smartest man in the world. Tell us your favorite story of Liz Moji AF.
Well, I think when we went to Mississippi, we went to the Pink House, and really that's been the start of it all, because that was the case that went before the Supreme Court, Dobbs, and it's the one that I think has changed the world, because I think that they're going to lose the next election because of what they've done. They caught the car and everything, and of course, Liz and the whole team was there way before all that happened. And we met Shannon Brewer there, who I think has since moved over to Texas and whatnot. We were able to do a podcast from there, and it hipped a lot of white people to what was going on. And a lot of the people that were listening to really don't keep up on women's rights as much as they might, or even knew that there was one lost clinic in Mississippi. And then also part of what made that one so awesome was there were the protesters there, and I interviewed a couple of them too, and I let them talk. And so people got to really hear about how bloody crazy and well-funded they are. It was really a moment for a lot of people because they were like, we've never really heard them talk and got the idea of where they're coming from and why they have the money to do this, you know, which seems to be the big dark secret, that there's all these horrible sort of well-funded Christian groups that are really going out of their way to make sure that women are oppressed. And then, I would like to have had a funnier memory.
Well, that memory was pretty funny, especially the part that you left out was when the protesters recognized you outside of the Pink House. That was pretty amazing. Tell that story, because that was pretty great.
Well, one of them said, you're going to be God's footstool, which I loved. And then they're like, oh my God, you're on Whose Line Is It Anyway? We love the show. And I said to Jennifer and Liz, if I had asked him to go for a beer, they would have gone with me. You know, the television friend aspect outweighed the fact that I was an evil baby killing liberal from the swirling vortex of hysteria. And they were kind of overwhelmed by that, which I thought was hilarious. And when I said to one of them, how can you afford to come out here every day? And he went, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed. Also, like, they're all funded by this like really rich emergency room doctor. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, Greg. So do you remember Coleman Boyd, who was there?
Yeah.
So Coleman Boyd is the emergency room physician who adopts all these children, brings them out. Well, Coleman has been convicted on face charges, and he hasn't been sentenced yet, but is facing 10 years in prison, a $250,000 fine, and a possible loss of his license for going and doing this. So let's hope the best for Coleman Boyd.
I live in Los Angeles, and of course, you hear lots of stupid things here, like, you know, F Texas or F Mississippi, we should just cut them out of the union. And it's like, one, I have loads of relatives in both states. And two, there's loads of nice people there, and they need your help. They don't need you to turn your back on them and be horrible to them. They need you to dig in.
100%, Greg. And I just want to button that up by saying people who stay in these states are doing so, A, because it's where they live and it's where they love. And two, they are brave enough to say, even though we may be outnumbered, we refuse to cede that they will be the only voice of the people of Mississippi. And that's braver than any of that those hot takes. Of, why don't you just let them secede from the union? Fuck those people. Understand what bravery means.
Right. And we did let them secede, and it really didn't work out.
True. Very much true.
What did Nikki Haley say? The Civil War was, you know, a terrible commotion that happened in the 19th century, and Denzel Washington got mad, and some white people were inconvenienced. You know,
and there were no Asian people ever. I remember that part. It was a good. It was one of her better speeches.
Oh my god, Greg, thank you for taking time and popping in, and I really hope we see you soon.
Thank you.
Congratulations, you guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, darling. What a joy that Greg Proops.
Thanks so much, Greg. Go see Greg on tour with Who's Live Anyway. And that's tour starts in May. And of course, listen to his amazing podcast, The Smartest Man in the World, and follow him on the social media that we'll all link to in the show notes. And there's so much more. I'm so excited, guys. Now, here's a clue about your next guest, who shockingly never knew Liz in Minnesota.
Oh my God, it's Darby Worley, the voice of Abortion Access Front.
Literally the voice of Abortion Access Front.
The literal voice.
Our listeners hear Darby every single week.
Yes.
Tuning in from London.
So weird that we never knew each other in Minnesota. It's very bizarre.
It's so bizarre.
It's so bizarre. But so Jen asked me to come up with a story or something about you. And I'm like, I don't really have any funny stories. But what I want to say about you, Liz, is what I love about you is your enthusiasm for gratitude. Like, I love the fact that every Thanksgiving you make everybody at the table say what they're grateful for. And even when the world is like 1000% fucked up, you force all of us to find even one thing that we're grateful for. And that makes me grateful for you.
Oh.
And Moji, I've never met you in person, but
never in person. I'm like, I've just sent you gifts and I hear you every week.
And I hear you all the time too. And I feel like I know you. Anyway, big hugs.
Big hugs to you, Darby. I'm so excited. I have to say though, Darby has been the voice of this organization for a long time. And I think one of my funnest memories was being able to write with Molly and the writing team and everybody at the time, all of the voiceovers for the Golden Probe Awards that we did at our old organization. And so for Darby to just be giving away in this very funny way, like how award shows give away, and it's just like, we're the biggest douchebag in land and sea. You know, it's like, it just sounding like it was very good. And I love that. I love that so much. And just hearing your voice all the time, it's really great.
Oh, and the greatest gift that you ever gave me was the chance to introduce Stormy Daniels.
Yes, for the live Golden Probes.
Yes. In fact, I just posted a picture of Stormy Daniels that from the live Golden Probes on my Instagram, because she's, you know, she's a national treasure for many reasons.
We love her.
Not just her lovely bust line. My mother would say, she has a very ample bosom. Stormy Daniels. Oh my God. Darbs, love you much. Mean it.
I love you too.
Bye. Thank you.
What a fun treat, Darby. Oh my God. That is so much fun. Darby, the voice of a generation.
Bye.
Visit Darby's official website, which we will link in the show notes, to learn more about her and her work and her many acting and voiceover accomplishments, including the off-Broadway play she was in with Liz and comedian and actor Baron Vaughn back in the day.
That's right. Shoot the messenger.
Follow Darby on her socials and we'll link it in the show notes. And now I have your final guest. And the clue is they would do almost anything for you, but if you need a lifeguard, look elsewhere.
Hi. That's exactly who I thought. I was like,
that's
the woman who
hilarious. Oh my gosh, Marie. Hi, Marie.
Hi. Hello, Liz. Hello, Moji. I'm just here to remind you to root for everybody black.
Always.
Oh my God.
Immortal words from Issa Rae.
Yes.
Issa Rae. I'm just rooting for everybody. Oh my God, Marie. It's so good to see you.
Back at the pod.
At the pod.
Yes. The original third buzzkill.
I am here. Well, sans a mic. I sound the way I sound because Molly Gaby can sound better.
Here's the deal though, Marie. What I love the most is that you're come swinging in the comedy groove and not the activist groups, but you are both. You are hilarious and a dope activist. So you're doing the most.
I'm so grateful to be back here for the 100th episode. It was actually a little bit hard even to pick a specific, because I have a good amount of memories with the both of you. Even though I was thinking back, I actually met you both in person in 2019. So it was a lot to like think about and catalog. But I think my favorite memory, which honestly, Darby, y'all talking about State Fair, it was when we went out to Minnesota recreationally to visit Liz for her birthday and how we just did it all up. We did the State Fair. We did the pontoon boat where several people learned I can't swim that well. That is one of my best memories with y'all. Like not being in, yes, being in DC is important. It's very important, but also being in the communities we're actually from and going out in those spaces and like getting to do things like take Moji to a VFW and places like that she may not have been exposed to in the Midwest.
Right. And just floating in a lake with not a care in the world is water. I feel like, I mean, we all know, I talk about boats constantly. I love water. I feel like water is just the number one healing agent in life and calming and everything. But like just being able to just float around and then get up and eat chicken and drink rosé and float some more. But then also, Marie, finding out you are not a particularly strong swimmer, but then finding out that Nas is like super swimmer, swim team, who knew? That was super fun to learn.
The third component to the Muslim Dads Club. Yeah, captain of their swim team.
That is also the trip where I got to experience the beauty of the work you do now, where you practically supported me from Costa Rica to Minnesota because some hurricane was getting in the way of my travels.
Yes.
So it was a really robust trip.
Right, because it was at the point at which the hurricane had passed and that was kind of like, well, who can stay on the phone the longest to get on the flight? It was safe travel, and we needed Moji stat in Minnesota.
Well, also, Marie, I would love to just talk to you a little bit. You were with AAF as a staffer, then transitioned out, but remained on as in the podcast. And then after Dobbs, your world at your Practical Support Fund, Midwest Access Coalition, became so intense that, you know, some things had to give.
Yep.
So I'd love to just hear from you right now. What is the landscape looking like for you? Tell folks a little bit about how work is for you and where they can support you as well. Because I think it's super important. You're just on it all the time.
Totally. So I'm with, as Liz mentioned, Midwest Access Coalition. We're a practical support abortion fund, which means we in particular fund the buckets of travel, accommodation, so like hotel, childcare if needed, and food funding if needed. Because after the cost of the procedure, which in and of itself can be hundreds to thousands of dollars, and if you can't afford $100, like, you know, five grand, nothing's going to happen if you need $5,000. We know along with that cost, where a lot of abortion funds in particular will fund, it's super important. After that, people still need to pay for babysitting. They need to get the gas money to get to their clinic, and they need to have a safe place to stay, especially if they're getting surgical care. So in terms of our work at MAC, we work with folks traveling to, from, and within the Midwest. So as you mentioned, Liz, both with SB 8 in Texas and then with Dobbs, that meant with SB 8, Texans are coming up. Because if you look at a map, the closest place for legal abortion is Kansas as a state. And they're not going to be able to support you in third trimester care either. You're going to have to go somewhere else. So we, within the Midwest, we're seeing lots of folks outside of our region that need care. That's a human being. Doesn't matter what state boundary they happen to be in. We want them to get care. So that said, folks who are listening right now, we're looking at Florida, which is have a 6-week ban that is, unless something really, really astounding would happen, it's going to be starting on the 1st of next month. So supporting those abortion funds, Florida Access Network, ARC Southeast, which supports that state, supporting those funds because they are going to be able to fund someone to get care closer at a cheaper cost. They know their communities, they know their folks, they know their state. So I recommend to folks, think about those orgs like MAC that people, yeah, we're going to come to our region, but also those orgs that are still in those states that are going to try to get those folks the cheaper, more close to home care. We're also really excited that a lot of those clinics, those abortion providers in Florida, there's 54 of them on I Need a Day's website. So those are 54 public facing providers. A lot of them are going to be trying to work to stay open, to provide care pre-6 weeks, because we see folks that are 4 weeks pregnant that have to leave Texas because they can't get that care there. So you're asking someone who's incredibly earlier in their pregnancy to head up to Kansas. We want to avoid that as much as possible for those folks in Florida and try to mitigate and reduce that harm as much. So looking at those Florida-specific efforts and how they have a ballot initiative, which you're going to hear all of this from Liz and Moji in more detail, but looking at those political, those mutual aid generated efforts in Florida, all that work that people are doing, that is something that I would suggest and encourage folks to do right now. Because within the next, it's what? Today is the 26th. So that's 4 days, you know, and a lot of providers aren't open on the weekends, that we want to get as many Floridians who are currently pregnant, get their care in their state. Because those clinics will, just like it happened when SB 8 happened, I was working that day, all the Wisconsin, because Wisconsin's a state with a zombie law, all of those Wisconsin clinics closed that morning at like 9:15, 9:20 Central Time, once the verdict officially hit them, all of those folks are going to be calling to leave the state. So we want to reduce for Floridians as much as possible, and for folks who are outside Florida, who are coming up from the Caribbean, who are coming up from outside of the US to get care within Florida, to try to reduce the need for those folks to travel any farther. So look at Florida Access Fund, look at, I will share a link, there's an ACT Blue page that has all the 6 funds that are supporting those areas, and look at those clinics, both nonprofit and for-profit in Florida, those indie clinics, especially the independent clinics that are doing the work there.
That's so great. And I just can't stress what Marie said. It's like, and I feel like we should make some kind of graphic that has all the local funds by state, so that people can understand, donate to your local fund, donate to your practical support funds, because the people who are helping transport and get people when they need to, and people getting them to stay in their state.
Like you said, Liz, people live where they love. Like, why the fuck are we making someone leave an environment for medical care that people are going to shame them for?
Right.
Even though they shouldn't. Like, let that person be as close to home as possible, as private as they might want to be. Don't force them to be public with it. Don't make them get on a plane.
If they need economic help, they've already had to ask a bunch of strangers. Like, let's mitigate the amount of strangers they have to tell their story to. It's unfair. And thank God the people they're asking are people like Marie, who are so loving and kind. But still, nobody should have to tell their story. They shouldn't have to.
People should be able to maintain their dignity.
Yeah.
And that's what these bans do. They rob people of their dignity for no reason, for political power.
True. Yep. True facts. Well, Marie, it sounds like you're looking great.
Thank you.
You're feeling super energetic. I'm really excited.
My shirt is Great Lakes Whale Watching.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I'm loving that, knowing how busy you are, that you could spend some time with us. It really means the world for you to be able to take time out of your day, knowing that you are juggling so many patients and so much work. So we miss you a ton.
So much, all the time.
Talk about you all the time.
I miss you all too. I'm really hoping we can get together, especially for some rosé.
Or the Yacht Club 100th anniversary water party.
We're going to get a water party, yes. Rosé water party.
Oh, I was like, water party might have a different water context. Party.
It's what I'm. It's what I'm calling it. It's a water party.
Water party. Okay, we're going to arrange it. I'll be back in New York soon, and we'll have a New York City water party.
Thank you so much, Marie.
Thank you, Marie.
Bye.
That was Marie, Director of Programs at Midwest Access Coalition and former moral support gift giver at AAF. I missed that. But donate and follow Midwest Access Coalition. We'll link to them in the show notes. And look out for their fundraiser coming up called Mac and Cheese, happening June 15th. In Chicago. We'll link to that as well.
Oh my gosh. Thanks you guys for such a fantastic 100th anniversary show.
Oh my gosh. Wow. It was so much fun. This was incredible. You guys did so much work.
You did. Thank you so much. Those guests are incredible.
We're so glad. Were you surprised?
Yes.
I was 100%. I felt really surprised. It's so interesting to be doing the show the week that the second Supreme Court cases happening, and everybody who was on has been really fighting hard.
Oh, second this year, third since we started the pod.
I know, the third since we started the pod, and so here we are. I feel like we're just slaying White Walkers. I feel like that's all we do, slay White Walkers.
And with such great people. And I think this was such a lovely trip down memory lane for all sorts of different things. I feel like I learned so much about this as well.
It was an incredible reminder that we've done incredible work with incredible people. And thank you, everyone, especially Jen and Emily, for pulling that together, for reaching out to our history and pulling them back into the present with us.
That's right. I mean, there were so many good touch tone moments there with Marie kicking off the podcast with us, and Greg Krupps being on tour with us, and the Chellians being part of the tour, and Nicole being there from the beginning and trying to manage all of it, just really excellent.
Yeah. And I thought it'd be fun to bring Darby in because none of us has seen her.
No, but we hear her all the time. It's so good.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't live in the US, I have never met her, but I feel like I've been listening to her voice for years.
Yep. I mean, she just doesn't disappoint, being the voice of AAF for sure.
It was kind of surreal, actually, hearing her voice and seeing her talk at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, Liz and Moji, I hope you had a good time here today. Why don't you two kick back and Emily, Jen, and I will finish off the show.
I love it. We get to kick back and start drinking, and you guys can tell people all about the work.
Yeah, start. That's right. That's been our show. Thanks for listening. And a great big thank you to Nicole Moore, Renee and Laura Chellian, Darby Worley, Greg Proops, and Marie Kahn for celebrating with us.
Did we make you laugh today? Then go ahead and give us some love by liking, subscribing, and giving us a 5-star rating. Plus, stay connected with us on social media at Abortion Front across all platforms. We want to help you turn that enragement into engagement. Also, if you haven't already, please go sign our petition at aafront.org and ask the FDA to use their power to protect mifepristone.
And we want to remind you that you can find the best, most up-to-the-minute resources on accessing abortion care and funding for your care on our website, aafront.org. Our Charlie chatbot on the bottom right will walk anyone anywhere in the country through their options and resources for abortion. Plus, it just won a Webby Award. Hello.
And if you're thinking, where might I fit in to do some abortion activism? Great news. We've got a 5-part activist training series, Operation Save Abortion, at operationsaveabortion.com. And while you're there, you can visit our super cool activist calendar, which is full of local and national actions and educational opportunities. What could those actions be? I'll tell you one. This week's featured action is an amazing volunteer-led event that AAF is proud to be sponsoring. NYC Folks, come celebrate Mother's Day this year by supporting abortion access in New York. On May 12th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, the Nighthawk Cinema in Prospect Park will be hosting a special screening of Mamma Mia. Woot woot. All proceeds will go to the New York Abortion Access Fund, which provides financial support to anyone living in or traveling to New York who needs help paying for the cost of an abortion. Link is in our show notes or the activist calendar.
And we're dark next week, but it's because we're preparing for a very special episode all about abortion in the courts, including the latest case regarding EMTALA at SCOTUS. And we're doing it all with attorney and political commentator for The Nation, Ellie Mistal. And that drops May 10th.
And join our Patreon. You'll support great content and get cool FBK merch and experiences. All pledges support this pod and all our activism at Abortion Access Front. Pledge at patreon.com/feministbuzzkills. FBK is edited by me, Remy de Tournay, and is produced by Abortion Access Front.
And finally, we leave you with the worst of the past 99 show your whole asses with Christian hate preacher Jonathan Shelley, a man who's showing us his whole ass when he asks his congregation the pressing question, fellas, is it gay to ask your wife for consent?
I heard an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. He's like, you know, it's not right for me to just tell my wife when we're going to have kids. You know, I need to ask her permission or ask her when it's okay to start having kids. And I'm like thinking like, are you a man? Are you a Baptist? You're a fundamental Baptist preacher and you're going to ask your wife if it's okay to have children? I'm like, what planet am I living on? You know, how effeminate is that to let your wife tell you when she's going to have kids or not? I mean, that's feminism. You know which buttons I ask my wife it's okay to press? None. Because she doesn't tell me what to do. You know, that's a weird relationship. And it's sad that fundamental Baptist preachers are letting their wives tell them what to do.
Feminist Buzzkills, the podcast from Abortion Access Front. New episodes drop Friday. When BS is poppin', we pop off. And if you want to support our podcast and all the work of Abortion Access Front, like, subscribe, and join our Patreon at patreon.com/feministbuzzkills.